Kathy, welcome to the Pre-Seamless podcast. We're going to talk about what you are going to talk about at the conference in Riyadh in a couple of weeks from now. Before I tell our audience something wrong, can you please introduce yourself? What are you doing and for whom are you working?
Hi, excited to be here. My name is Kathy Hackle. I'm the chief futurist at Journey, which is a design and innovation consultancy. We work with brands like Nike, Walmart, Clinique, Ralph Lauren, and the likes to help them navigate virtual spaces. We also do physical design and immersive experiences. And I lead the virtual studio. So excited to do that. I'm also the founder of Verse Lux, which is my own luxury tech label. And yeah, I'm an author, speaker, podcast host myself, and just all over, you know, international woman of mystery.
Nice. I you got my attention when I saw the title you're talking about. I think the title right now on the website is Into the Metaverse, the Essential Guide to the Business Opportunity of the Web 3 Era. So I have to admit, I was not like a big advocate of like Web 3 and like, and I always refer to like, you know, 10 years ago with Second Life, nobody did it and blah, blah, blah. And you've heard all the stories and you've been working now with like different companies in the in this era and or in this area. Can you give me a couple of like success cases or the way how you think about like engaging with those things? And if there's like real business in that?
Yeah, there is. There's definitely, I think people confuse things. Just the word metaverse is very, let's use the word polluted, right? There's many, many people that try to use the word or kind of take on it. But for me, the metaverse is the next iteration of the internet. It is a convergence of physical and digital lives. It is about virtual shared experiences that happen both in virtual spaces, but will also happen in the physical world. That's where spatial computing comes in. So it's something that's not here yet, right? So to provide a business case, let's say, for the metaverse as a whole, as we're building it, it's kind of interesting. That being said, we can definitely look at virtual worlds and the success those have had. I'll give you a really interesting example. Anyone out there that's a gamer, there's Diablo, one of the video games that came out, the latest version of Diablo. In 5 days, they sold 666 million dollars. That is more than all the horror movies that have been launched in 2023 combined. Right. So from a virtual spaces perspective, like virtual worlds and gaming economies have been thriving for years. They're worth more than Hollywood and the parts of entertainment put together. So like that has been a thriving space. So when people say, you know, this metaverse thing or this Web3 didn't really happen, to me, it's like we're still building it, but there's still money being made. There's still commerce opportunities. I'll give you another example I think is really interesting is, for example, Walmart Land. So my team and I built Walmart Land for Walmart and Roblox, and it's had over 18 million visits to date, and it's been very successful. So, you know, it depends on how people measure success in this new era.
You would measure success with the Walmart thing on visits? Is there any like purchases connected with those visits?
Do you play Roblox, Alex?
My son plays it. Yeah, I watch him playing.
Yeah. So the Walmart Land version, you don't buy things in Walmart. In Walmart Land, you get virtual items, right? And these are free depending on what you do inside the game, right? So it depends. Every experience is a little bit different. Some of them you have to purchase things, like Adopt Me. You usually have to purchase the pets, for example, inside Roblox. In Walmart Land, no, you do activities, you do certain things, and then you get given points, and then you can trade things in. Inside the game. So every experience in Roblox can do things differently, right? That being said, they did do a campaign last Christmas that was really interesting in trying to kind of merge the physical and the virtual touch points, which was if you went to a Walmart store, for example, or you shopped online and you bought a Roblox gift card, which is a really hot item here in the US. Any party you go to, kids are like, what do you want? They want Robux. So you end up buying them a gift card so they can get Robux. So last Christmas, for example, you went to a Walmart store or you bought a Roblox gift card through Walmart. It had a special code to unlock a virtual item in Walmart Land. They could only unlock if they had bought that Roblox gift card through Walmart. Right. So there's already ways that they're starting to figure out, okay, how do we start to connect virtual and physical? I'll give you another example of something that's really interesting right now that I'm paying a lot of attention to and I think is brilliant, is Amazon Anywhere. And basically, right now they launch. So it's Amazon's e-commerce play in the virtual worlds. And it's pretty much just starting off with Niantic's, I think it's called Pimkin. It's not Pimkin. It's one of the games that they just launched. Gosh, its name escapes me right now. But Niantic launched a new game that's not Pokemon Go, and it's not Pimkin. It's another one. And basically, when you're playing this game, you're able to purchase things while you're playing in augmented reality. So whether it's a shirt with the little pet that you're using or anything, so it's called Amazon Anywhere. So it's a way for you to get buy physical items that will arrive at your house, but in game without kicking you out of the game, without having to take you outside of a Roblox or a Pokemon Go or whatever it is. So,
but let's stay with this. Stay with this, like, for a moment, because I 100% rely on your initial statement on, like, gaming. Because if I were to ask my son, would you rather have a 10 euro voucher for Rocket League? That's a game he's playing with all his friends. Or like a 20 euro voucher for H&M or Zara, 100% he goes for the Rocket League.
Rocket League,
thing.
Yeah,
it's definitely the thing. But that I understand, because in the gaming thing, like, might it be Diablo, might it be other games, they are attracted, like, to the game itself, and they want to buy skins and they want to trade things, and all of this stuff is happening, and that leads to a situation where, as you said, the gaming industry is more valuable than all Hollywood. Even some games are way more valuable, like, than the top 10 movies all time.
Yeah. Being turned into movies.
but what we are seeing, like, when like now the old economy tries to be part of the metaverse, and let's not be, like, too strict in defining it, and they start, like, to build the old economy world, like, in a virtual way. The same thing happened, like, from my point of view, was, like, Second Life in 2006-07, I think it was. They start, like, I don't know what Walmart built, but most likely it's going to be like a Walmart mall, or like other companies are building like a stadium, and they expect like people doing something in a virtual world that mimics a real world experience. At least many examples I've seen are doing the same, and there the whole argument like falls apart. I don't want to be like in a virtual stadium and buy like a virtual ticket for Taylor Swift, even though I'm wearing the new Apple stuff. So I want to pay like the $200 for Taylor Swift in Las Vegas for the real experience, but I'm not willing to do it like in the online experience. And many companies are like struggling because they're like looking at their old business and trying to translate it in a very direct kind of manner into the digital business.
I'll jump in because I agree with you. It should not be translated in the same way. For example, we didn't take an idea of a Walmart store and put it in the metaverse. Or put it in Roblox in this case. We didn't do that. We created a whole new world. It's an island. So there's Electric Island. There's Fashion Island. There's an island for cooking. Like, it's not a Walmart. I always say this is not your grandmother's Walmart. If you go in and play it, it's completely different. I think that is where the magic is. If you work with actual game developers, which is what my team is, if you actually work with actual game developers, they understand game mechanics and they understand that this has to look different. You should by no means ever plop the same version you have in the physical world into a gaming platform. Like, that makes no sense. So I agree with you. That's why I think like a Nike Land is so brilliant, why Vans World was so brilliant. That's why they're successful, because they didn't just grab a Vans store and put it in Roblox. No, they created a world. And I think that's where when you're talking about these younger generations, my three kids are Gen Alpha. And I feel like they love to spend their money there, but they love to build as well. And I think that's a huge difference, is that when you look at Gen Z, right? Gen Z are content creators, or many of them want to be influencers or content creators creating on a kind of on social media. For the younger generation, at least what I'm seeing with my kids, they're growing up as world builders. Right. My kids love playing Minecraft. They love playing Roblox. But they like building there as well. They like creating their own games. They like creating their own experiences. So I think that is a little bit of a difference there. It's like you're going from this generation who are content creators to kids that are world builders. And they actually have the tools to create these worlds. And they're spending their money there. But they're also spending time creating their own gameplay and their own experiences. Right. So I definitely agree with you in the sense that no one should ever, like, if you have an agency telling you you should build a physical replica of your stadium in a virtual space, that's not the way to go. You have to, this is the thing, you have to create with the player in mind. with the gamer in mind, not with the brand at the center. It has to be with the gamer, with the player and the gamer that lives natively in these platforms in order for it to be successful.
Yeah. I understand that if you're building on an already successful platform, could be your whatever experience in the Diablo game or in Roblox, there's a good chance of success because it already attracted hundreds of millions of players. How do you rate then the activities from Facebook here with the metaverse? Which maybe I'm too old already. I'm not Generation Alpha. My kids also are, but. Mm-hmm. I see so many parallels with Second Lives. Millions of investments are going in, billions of Facebook, millions of brands trying to build their replicas with very limited success when it comes to attention span, people logging into the whatever Microsoft Stadium. I don't know if Microsoft has a stadium there, but just as an example.
No.
From your perspective, so how do you rate what Facebook has built?
Yeah, so I think, Facebook has many different parts to Reality Labs, not only Horizon, which is what most people go to when they think about the idea and their concept of the metaverse, this virtual world. I'm going to be honest, I've played in Horizon before it was Horizon. It used to be called Facebook Spaces. And I had a lot of fun. I would spend time there with friends, right? But that being said, there's not a lot of people there. It's not huge. I do think that they're trying to focus on creating more games. The creation process inside Horizon Worlds is still not great. I'll be very honest. So for the creator, it's not the best experience. So what do I think about what they've built? I think that while them taking the name Meta, brought the term metaverse to millions of people before I thought I would ever have to talk about the metaverse with them, which was, I've benefited from that. That being said, it created a lot of confusion, right? I think people immediately thought metaverse and they immediately equated it with virtual reality, which is not the truth. The metaverse is enabled by many different technologies, not just VR, right? So yeah, Horizon World, there's definitely things lacking. It's not necessarily the best experience for creators. I think Meta's investing in trying to change it. But, when people say, oh, that's the metaverse, I'm like, that is far from the truth. That is not the metaverse. The metaverse is many different things. And if you look at, for example, Epic and Team Sweeney, their CEO, and kind of what they're building, totally different perspective. I mean, they're partnering with Lego. They're going all in on creating new experiences. And even Tim, there was an article in Business Insider a couple weeks ago, probably. And it said oh, the metaverse is dead. And I remember his tweet. He tweeted out and said, okay, let's hold a wake for the 600 million players that there are in Roblox, in Fortnite, in VR chat, and included a few others, Rec Room, I think, included as well. I think so. It's an interesting conversation because I think people, the word metaverse became so polluted. It became equated with only one company or only one technology, or then it got co-opted in the NFT side. So there's a lot of confusion there, right? But the metaverse is not one single company. So it's not only Meta. There's many other companies, right? Including Epic, who has an amazing game engine, an amazing game called Fortnite. And then you've got, many different technologies. So it's not just virtual reality, right? It's many other technologies. And then, there's this confusion around, oh, these Web3 metaverses. To me, there's only one metaverse, capital M metaverse, which is a successor state to today's mobile internet that is still being built, despite people saying it's killed. And so these other things are virtual worlds. They're, if you wanted to use the term metaverse, they would be lowercase metaverse. But to me, they're virtual worlds and virtual experiences, right? So okay. Your example of Second Life. Yeah, Second Life was really early. And I love Philip Rosedale. I'm still friends with him. I think everything, they did set up TeliaPay, which TeliaPay was a really interesting way of doing commerce. It's being used currently by different companies. So it was early. It wasn't the right time. There wasn't enough people in there. It's, it is what it is. But now it's a little bit different. You have a generation who is moving away from, who for them, gaming is their new social network. Right. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to understand that is they already live this duality of virtual and physical and going in between both, as you see with your kids. So to say that this is dead, I think, is pretty premature. The term metaverse could be dead. Right. Or it's overhyped, or there's a metaverse whiplash. But there is something being created that is the successor state to today's mobile internet, and where Gen Alpha is going to spend a lot of time engaging in a social way, both in virtual and physical worlds. So I do want to kind of make that very clear that I don't think it's only about Facebook, well, Meta, right? Now known as Meta, and kind of what they created in Horizon World.
Okay, then my last question, and before we are like revealing all the information you're going to give, like at your keynote at Seamless, from a scale from 1 to 10, 1 really bad, 10 is like outstanding. What is your rate for the new Apple Vision Pro when it all comes to the after mobile internet thing?
I will tell you, this is the most advanced piece of consumer technology ever created, and I say that wholeheartedly, having worked inside virtual reality hardware, having worked inside spatial computing hardware, like Magic Leap, like this is completely. I don't think people grasp how hard it is to create this. This is a supercomputer that lives on your face that can see the world. It's truly amazing. The optics, everything about it is just phenomenal. So it is hard to produce. This is a very difficult product to produce, so I'm not surprised that there are delays. It's going to take a while. This product, like I say, this product's not going to be for everyone from the get-go, right? This product is for someone like me, right? It's not going to be for everyone. It will take time. There will be future versions that will be more consumer-ready. But it is, without a doubt, one of the most technologically advanced pieces of consumer tech ever created, from the optics to the battery, just... I'm in awe of what Apple has created.
So it's at least a 10. It's at least a 10.
Oh, it's an 11.
Okay. Looking forward to more predictions and to more like ratings of like consumer technology at Seamless. Looking forward to meeting you there. Thank you, Kathy.